All right. I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Carson City Regional Transportation Commission. It's Wednesday, February 12th at 4:57. And we are in the Sierra Room at 851 East Williams Street here in Carson City. Tamara, can we have a roll call, please?
Chair Bankowski. Vice Chair Kim DeBrow. Commissioner Bagwell. Commissioner McQuarrie. Commissioner Stenfield. A quorum's present.
Thank you. Agenda management notice. We have a change, slight change to the agenda.
Yes, Mr. Chair. If it's okay with you and the board, items 6D and 6E are substantially related. Staff are requesting to provide a single presentation followed by discussion, public comment, and separate actions. Thank you.
Okay. So we will hear both items together and then take separate votes. Okay. Any other changes to the agenda from the commissioners? Seeing none, then we will adopt the agenda as amended. We're now on agenda item 3, disclosures. Any disclosures from the commission members tonight? Seeing none, we will move on to item 4, public comment. Initial public comment. Any member of the public who wishes to address the RTC may approach the podium, speak on any matter relevant to or within the authority of the RTC. And I see nobody approaching. Then we will move on to agenda item 5, possible action, discussion, and possible approval of the December 11th, 2019 draft minutes. If the commissioners have had a chance to review those minutes, I would entertain a motion.
I move to approve the minutes of December 11th, 2019.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Passes unanimously. We'll move on to the public meeting items. Item 6A for possible action, discussion, and possible action regarding a development agreement between Carson City and C.W. Clark, Inc. for the Cochise Crossing Development Project for pro rata contributions in the amount of approximately $322,800 or a reduced amount to plan transportation infrastructure capital improvements. Lucia.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Lucia Maloney, Transportation Manager. The development agreement template for pro rata contribution was considered at the November RTC meeting. The RTC board provided direction to staff to revise the agreement and bring it back for action at the December meeting. Comments were incorporated and updates were made, and the template was approved at RTC's December meeting. The approval authorized the city engineer to execute the agreement and also authorized modifications that may be clerical, identifying, or non-substantive in nature, if needed, in order to adapt it for use with a specific project or developer. Further, the owner's pro rata share calculation methodology was developed to be based on the number and percent of trips anticipated to be directly generated and distributed to the transportation network as a result of the owner's project, as determined by a traffic impact study and compared with the baseline number of trips. In short, we put a lot of thought into developing the template and methodology such that it could be implemented fairly and consistently. The Cochise Crossing project location is shown on packet page number 13, identified as the commercial center. C.W. Clark, Inc. provided the letter provided as Exhibit 1 to the staff report in February of 2019, agreeing to participate in pro rata contributions for the project upon completion of an independent hotel project nearby. Review of the traffic impact study addendum provided by C.W. Clark in January of 2020 indicated a pro rata share of 26.9% of the estimated $1.2 million traffic control device at Appian and South Carson. That equated to a $322,800 contribution. As provided within Exhibit 2 of the staff report, C.W. Clark, Inc. has requested RTC consideration of a pro rata contribution that differs from the established methodology, citing extenuating circumstances that warrant a reduction in pro rata contribution through removal of the Chick-fil-A in the calculation. For your knowledge, the Chick-fil-A represents 52% of the traffic anticipated to be generated by the full project. Excluding Chick-fil-A would reduce the pro rata contribution to 12.9%, equating to $154,800. Mr. Clark, representing C.W. Clark, is here this evening. If it pleases the board, Mr. Clark is prepared to explain why he is requesting a reduced pro rata share. He has also provided a handout that I provided to the board, the clerk, and there were copies made available to the public in the back. Staff are requesting direction from RTC as to the approved pro rata share for this project, which will allow the city engineer to execute the agreement with the authorized clerical changes as needed. With that, I'm happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Do we have questions from the commissioners? If not, I would invite Mr. Clark up to the table. If you can come up to the table and push the button on the mic once so the light at the base turns green, and then introduce yourself for the record.
I think that's it. Craig Clark, C.W. Clark, Inc., temporarily located in San Diego, California, soon to be located on Mountain Street in Carson City, Nevada. We're sort of caught here. We want the light. We think the light's a good thing. We don't want to wait 8 years for the light. But we are, this project was already entitled, and I shared with you the schedule. I thought, I didn't bring in a traffic engineer. I didn't bring any studies. I didn't bring an architect or an attorney. I just came because I need to plead with you for common sense and reasonableness in how we determine what we should contribute towards the light. This is a very small project. It's 3.5 acres, and yes, two of our tenants do generate a fair amount of traffic. Although Panera Bread doesn't use anywhere near the traffic that Starbucks would have. This escrow was closed in June of 2017. This is the first project that I have done up in Carson City. Everybody was very cooperative, very helpful. We knew there may be a light someday. But when we did this, the talk was there was going to be a roundabout. And so we didn't even know for sure that it was going to be a stoplight at the time that we got our entitlements. And then it took forever to get Starbucks and Chick-fil-A in line with their leases. Nobody in this room's fault, but it just took a long time to make that happen. But the leases were negotiated and signed for the Chick-fil-A during that period. As a matter of fact, it went from a build-a-suit to a ground lease. And that's been quite a while since that was done. I will promise you there is no way for me to get more money out of Chick-fil-A. The way I do my deals are LLCs. The money partners put in 90% of the money, I put in 10, and we divide the proceeds 50-50 with them getting a preferred return. I'm locked in the middle. The profit on the Bergner Clark portion of this is barely twice of what the original ask for us to contribute to the light. The project just didn't generate that much because of the delays. We owned the land for all that period of time. And we didn't know we were going to have to be in the light until we came back for the change. We came back for the change because Starbucks bailed. That's when we were told we were going to have to participate in the light. The staff then had their directions as to how that was supposed to be allocated. But I was desperately trying to keep the project going. So the letter they gave me that said I would cooperate in the light, I signed with the idea that the language in the letter said it would be fair and reasonable the way we would do it. In the past, I've developed a lot of shopping centers in my career. I started in 73 with development. And we'd always draw a circle around the, or a rectangle or a square around the people that were going to participate in a particular stoplight. Well, this one is a little bit more open. Matter of fact, it may be a little bit more fair if you knew what was coming. But it's whoever delivers a traffic study that shows that they impact that light, they'll have to participate in this. Now, I happen to know that across the street to the east of my site, there's going to at least be a hotel or an apartment project that's coming in the very near future. I know the principal of the property, and I know that they're going to do that. The property where I was going to build a hotel, with the rising cost, we had to scrap the hotel because it didn't make economic sense to do it. But then someone came along and took my idea, bought the property for cash, and is going to ask to build a condo hotel, which is a lot different than just an extended stay hotel. With the condos, you got a little chance to make some money back, and I'm sure that that will, and that's going to happen very shortly because he's already bought the land. I'm just trying to get, because I don't have anywhere to go to make the money back. The cap rates are what they are if we sell the property. One of my partners in the Bergner Clark portion of this is his life savings, and he's got 75% of the project, and it's just a killer for him if he has to pay $150,000 into a stoplight. So I don't have any choice but to come and beg, plead, and just hope that somewhere there's some reasonableness and an understanding that we just got caught in the time period where decisions were being made about whether to do the stoplight or the I've paid for stoplights. I've built stoplights. I've waited to get my money back on stoplights. I know how it works. But I did have the hope that a roundabout might actually happen because we did roundabouts in Yuma, and they worked out very nicely. I would like to suggest that we come up with a lump sum amount that we pay towards the stoplight, but certainly nowhere near the kind of numbers that are being talked about. That's my request, and I just need to know if I've got anybody that's willing to listen, or I can't go backwards. I own the grand. We finished the grading, and we're ready to start construction on the buildings, but we're being held up because we can't pull our permits, our building permits, until we decide what this contribution is going to be.
Questions from the commissioners? Mm-hmm. Lori?
So,
I'm sorry, and where's my note? And the last thing was the timing of it. If we have to contribute towards this, I'd sure rather do it through either a bond or some way in which the money's only due when we know we're within 12 months of starting the light. I certainly don't need to have my partner go broke loaning money to the city to do a light that they might do down the road.
So just in general, reading through your letter of request here, I didn't see any recommendation. I mean, our staff calculated $322,800. What were you seeing with the change out of what? Starbucks? So here's what my question is. We got an agreement that we did separately with the other coffee, Dutch Bros, for 66? Yeah, 66. So I'm just questioning if Starbucks is not a part of what the original traffic configuration was, what would that reduce the $322,800 by? How much is the Starbucks component of the traffic study?
The Starbucks was roughly equivalent to the Panera. And I apologize, I don't have the numbers there, but changing out the Starbucks with the Panera, it was essentially the same. If I believe the trips went down even slightly once we got the Panera in there instead of the Starbucks.
Yep. Panera has nowhere near the drive-through traffic that Dutch Brothers or Starbucks has.
I'm trying to find a methodology for decision.
Sure.
You know, I'm not going to pick a number off the top of my head. So what I'm looking for is something that can fit within the procedures that we've established and yet be consistent and fair, you know, to the project. So another question is, are all of your pads then used up and there's no additional. So this is it. There's going to be Panera, Chick-fil-A.
And then we have a 4,200-square-foot shop building, none of which are food users of any kind. We've got the Joint, which is a chiropractic use. We've got a hair salon, and we've got a jeweler.
Which are all small.
Small and don't require any traffic to speak of.
Mm-hmm.
Wish they did, but they don't.
We do, too. So that's what I'm after, is trying to determine if I were to reassess the traffic count for you based on your tenants now versus what was originally submitted, what would this change?
Let me try to cut to the chase and save everybody time. It will hurt, but what we can afford is if we paid just a flat fee of $100,000. And the only reason we can afford that is because we're planning to sell the projects after we finish them. And that's the only way I'd have the money to be able to do that. I've already got my loans. My loans came from outfit in Calabasas, California, and they've just been waiting for me to give them the new design for the shop building. Took a little bit to get Panera squared away too, but it's done. So that's I'm just caught. It's the horse is left. I need to put a rider on the horse. I can't catch the horse. And the number that I think I can get the project to be able to afford to pay is about $100,000.
Okay, and may I ask staff just to clarify also, is it accurate that this project or the development itself was off the ground prior to our implementation of these agreements? So again, I'm looking for fairness, because he would have been pricing his projects for sale and negotiating without the knowledge that this expense was going to be there. Is that correct? I just want to clarify that that's an accurate statement.
According to the handout that was provided this evening, he signed his lease on June 25th, 2018. And so staff are working through the various permitting requirements between June of 2018 and February 2019 when the Exhibit 1 was provided. During that time, staff have received direction from multiple board members and commissioners related to the desire to implement the Carson City Municipal Code section, which requires the pro rata contribution. So before February 19th, when Exhibit 1 was provided, staff had communicated that to the developer that this cost was coming. However, it was at that point late in the game based on this timeline provided.
And he had no idea it was going to be $322,000 that he was negotiating with his tenants. That's what I'm after. He had no way of knowing he needed $300,000 to negotiate with the tenants. So I'm trying to find an equitable between both of us.
If I had known that, I would not have done the deal.
Well, that's where I was going.
I would have walked away.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Lucia, so just so I'm clear, so the 26.9% contribution based on the estimated traffic, $322,800, that is based on what he currently proposes to build. Is that correct?
That's correct. That is from the traffic impact study the development provided from their traffic engineer.
So from the city's perspective, if he doesn't pay that, someone else or city taxpayers have to fill in the gap, right?
That's correct. Since the methodology was developed based on the direct trips generated from each potential future development that comes in, not getting this pro rata contribution for these trips would then necessarily essentially bundle them with the city's portion.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Hard question to answer, but I'm very sympathetic to the fact that a lot of this took place before this final ruling. So you didn't know it changed the rules in the game, is what I call it. You went in to play a game, and then it got changed three quarters of the way down the row, and you didn't have chance. So I'm going to ask a tough question. The fact that is that, to me, that seems like an item that could be put in the court systems very easily, that you weren't aware of these certain costs that came later that causes all kinds of delays and problems that probably wouldn't be, that would be a tough one. The way, the fact that you have to get an attorney to figure this all out. I'd rather see us solve this than
my career, my second career in Nevada with attorneys.
No offense, Mr. Reeves.
He doesn't take it.
That's why I'm here.
Well, I think I'd rather see it get solved here than in the system that causes heartburn for everybody. Because this is the first one out the door. Well, not the first, the second one out the door. But I have a lot of sympathy for the fact that it wasn't there at the beginning of the game. So, but I have two people that are sitting here, the board of supervisors, to make the final approval here on this board, this commission. So I would support changes. And I'm highly supportive of that. But to find that number, I'm having a difficult time. So I need help figuring out what that number would be that would make you not lose as much as what has happened because of the not having the knowledge that that was coming your way down the railroad track. So you just find somebody in your favor, but finding that exact number is really difficult for me. So I'm hoping somebody can help that.
And logically, you need to think, how in the world can a 3-acre project, no matter what you put on it, pay for a fourth or a third of a stoplight? You would know they wouldn't be able to do that. You can't do that. If it was In-N-Out Burger, we couldn't do that. Well, I'd be willing to, though. They're pretty good.
Yes. excuse me. So your letter shows that on January 23rd of 17, you got the major project review letter with conditions of approval. Were those Board of Supervisors approved conditions?
Planning Commission.
Okay. And was there anything in those conditions of approval that
had
anything about the traffic light at all?
The final approved conditions of approval do contain a condition that says pro rata agreement will be executed. It does not specify the amount because the letter dated February of 2019, there was a kind of a promise to pay in the future. And then the addendum for the traffic impact study wasn't provided until January of 2020. And so at that time, staff received the final traffic impact study. So during that previous period, there was an acknowledgement and a commitment to participate in the pro rata agreement as included in the final conditions of approval.
Practically what happened is when Starbucks bailed and we had to come in to change our plan, they got another shot at taking something from us. And that's where this all came about. If Starbucks had stayed and we'd moved ahead, we would have built the project, and we would not have had this issue.
Okay, my other question is, there's a whole lot of other stuff going on, you know, reading through the packet information, you know, going on in this area. So looking at it holistically, is this an unreasonable amount for this one project?
I can't speak to what's reasonable or unreasonable, but it would, to my knowledge, represent one of the larger developer contributions to infrastructure in Carson City. It's a big ask. It's also a big project. As I understand, it's a double drive-through Chick-fil-A, and they tend to generate a lot of traffic.
And a couple of questions. First, in the packet, I think in your letter, Mr. Clark, it states that the boundaries of the area that would be required to participate in a pro-rata contribution are only on the west side of Carson Street. Is that true? There's no properties on the east side, which would also be a party to that intersection that would be eligible?
That's a good question. And no, that's not true. I've discussed that with Mr. Clark, and I did bring some information on that. So currently for the pro rata agreements, we have one executed agreement with the Dutch Brothers, as previously mentioned. Staff are in the process of negotiating three additional developer agreements, one with the Cochise, the French Doncho multifamily apartments that were approved on the west side, the Clearview Ridge apartments that were also approved on the west side, and then the Roland Street townhomes, which were on the east side. So we have included the Roland Street townhomes on the east side. We've also received word there's a current NPR going forward related to improvements on the bowling alley site on the east side, which would also be asked to participate, and anything else on the east side that came in. Staff did consider setting a boundary, and we made a conscious choice to not set a boundary because we don't know what will come in the future, how big of a project may have far-reaching impacts of traffic. We didn't want to arbitrarily set that boundary and perhaps accidentally exclude a bigger project that might have impacts to the intersection. So any project that comes in the future that would impact that intersection will be asked to participate.
So based on the known projects, then we've come up with an estimated total traffic count, and then we take the traffic count provided by the developer to calculate the pro rata share. So if more projects end up being eligible and sign development agreements, then that would reduce the pro rata share for each participant at the time of construction. And if that were to the case, then there would be a credit back to the participants that, quote unquote, overpaid. Is that correct?
That's correct. Currently, with the projects that we have sort of in the queue, if you will, they sum up to approximately $124,000 for the one agreement and then the three currently being negotiated. If an additional $100,000 was asked for this project, we'd be at about $224,000. $224,000 would represent approximately 20% of the project cost. So then if we add in potentially the bowling alley development, perhaps this other condo hotel, maybe we end up getting to 30% or 35 or 40% of the cost of the traffic improvements. That will leave staff with maybe $800,000 that we would need to fund for the signal for Carson City. Our annual STBG grant amount, as you know, is anywhere from $500,000 to $600,000. So if we could get close to that amount, it would give us the local match and that grant amount to maybe fund this thing sooner rather than later, as everyone wants to see. That would really be my target.
Has there been a final determination on what the improvements will be in roundabout versus traffic light or possibly some other version of traffic control?
As long as I've been here, the roundabout was ruled out. It's too close to the interchange, and it would disrupt the coordinated signals on the South Carson Street. Staff have moved forward with the Southwest Carson Circulation Study, which was funded by the Redevelopment Authority of Carson City this year. We hope to have draft recommendations of that study realistically by April. We are looking at both four-way signals at Appian, seriously looking at why or whether we want to signalize Snyder at Overland. It's probably too close to Clearview. We're also looking at a three-legged signal for the west side of Appian, if it doesn't work out at the bowling alley side. So we're looking at all options.
And we had conversations when we were working on the template about cash versus bond. And the bond language is not in the agreement. What was our final decision on that? Were we open to allowing performance bonds to be put up?
I think staff would be open to it. It would need to be something we discuss. The reason we moved away from the bonds was because if we do, acknowledging the shortage of transportation funding in Carson City, if we do choose to fund the city's portion with a grant, you need to have that cash on hand to serve as your match. And so there was a question at the staff level in terms of timing and our ability to kind of mobilize those funds from bond to cash. So that was the hesitation at the time.
Could language be inserted in the development agreement that would address the timing? So in other words, if we're going to know approximately 12 months in advance of start of construction, I would think. So is this something that you want to address, Darren? So if we had a 12-month notification on start of construction, then is that an appropriate amount of time to convert a bond for the bondholder to convert that to cash so that we have the match?
Darren Schultz, Public Works Director, for the record. Yes. Yes, that would be enough time. We didn't get far enough, commissioners, in looking in that bond road to exactly work out how it could be done. But I would anticipate that there is a way to do it and allow people to go that route.
And I'm not suggesting any changes here. I'm just trying to get a clear understanding of what all of our options are so that we can have a discussion and make an appropriate decision. So my understanding is that we have three numbers on the table under consideration, one which is for the full traffic impact of the center, which is the $322,800. And then if Chick-fil-A is excluded because of the timing that the lease was signed, then that is reduced to $154,800. And then what we've been offered by the developer is a flat fee of $100,000. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Then I will bring this. Do you have any additional comments to make, Mr. Clark? No? Okay.
I still have some questions.
Okay. Lori?
So I'm just truly reading the agreement, and I thought I heard something stated that his pro rata share would be reassessed once the project for the light actually occurred, and I'm not seeing that. So I wanted to clear up on the record is it's the cost of the actual light, and if he's owed money back, because 26% of the lower cost, he'd get a refund. It's not that. So what I'm concerned about is as we add the projects and I get everybody's traffic study, did we account for what if it equals more than 100%? So, like, I've collected so much from that guy and so much from that guy, you know, because the traffic study is an estimate, but as time progresses, you get real numbers from his project. For the next guy that's doing the new development, he's going to take into account real numbers. And so I just thought looking at this, I don't see at the time of the actual construction of a light that everything gets truly realized for your traffic impact and he gets a refund. So I didn't want that to stay on the record. He gets his pro rata share no matter whatever we decide today. And then he just gets a refund if the project costs less of his share of the $1 million or $2 million.
That's correct. Once the pro rata share is agreed upon, if the cost of the project comes in under, then we would refund that portion. Well, likewise, if more projects come in.
Let's talk about that, though, because the total pro rata share at 26%, if we agree to a reduced amount, then there's no possible way that there would ever be a refund involved. Even if the cost of the constructed improvements was less.
If we choose to do the flat fee and if directed by the board, then we would not refund any coverage.
I just want to know. I'm not looking for a refund.
No, I understand. We're just trying to collect all the information so that we have information we need to make a decision. Before we enter into discussion amongst the commission members. Well, first, are there any additional questions from any of the commission members at this time? If not, then I'm going to open this up to public comment, additional public comment, and then I'll bring it back to the commission for final discussion. All right, so I'll open this up for public comment. Mr. Brower, did you have any public comment? You want to come up, push the button once so that the green light comes on, introduce yourself for the record.
Is it on? Okay. Jack Brower with SVN Gold Dust Commercial, commercial real estate broker. I did the deal for Dutch Bros down at Appian Way and South Carson Street. We did go through the master plan review, and we got comments back from master plan review, nothing related to the light. And at the last minute, the city comes in and basically charges Dutch Brothers $66,000 before a building permit would be issued. And as everybody can figure out, makes a difference in economics, and it's a little bit of a backwards way of going. Not sure why that wasn't addressed in the NPR. And, you know, just want to make sure that Dutch Brothers is getting a fair shake down there with the contributions from all the other businesses and development down there. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Any additional public comment? Seeing none, then I will open this up for discussion amongst the commission members. Thoughts?
I do think it's difficult to change the rules of the game midstream on anyone, and especially since he'd already entered into an agreement with someone else in which he could not make a change to accommodate us. If we negotiate on this, I'm only comfortable then with a flat fee without refund, because if we come to a negotiated amount, I no longer want to implement further negotiations for him to get reductions, because I agree with Mr. Brower that, oh, no, then you have to pay like everyone else paid. So the difficult part for me, well, no, maybe not. Maybe I just feel that Chick-fil-A was not a part of the original discussion and it already negotiated and done its agreement. So potentially the methodology should be to exclude that, which would give us the $154,800. And so that the rules of the game were you brought Panera Bread and stuff after you knew what the rules were, and so therefore it'll have to pay the standard percentage that it would have generated under the agreement. Just a thought. I'm willing to listen to anybody else's idea.
Yeah, I'm with the fact that we could take Chick-fil-A out, because that makes a lot of sense to me, and it supports the fact that business has already been done and they paid their pro rata share. But it's totally understandable to me that Chick-fil-A fell under the cracks. And it's funny because I actually talked to Brad about the fact that Chick-fil-A came in under the wire there and got away with not being a part of this program, which was a bummer to me. But it's just that's the way things happen. If there's no rules in place, it doesn't work there. So I would be very agreeable to the 154 so that it's fair and it stays fair and that we don't have to have this discussion every time somebody comes in wanting to change the system. And the bonding part, I don't have any trouble with either. If it worked out and if they're all supportive of it, that's one option. It still allows that share to be paid, but in a way without hitting them too hard up front. So that's where I stand.
Yeah, my thoughts are similar to what Laurie and Mark have expressed. I would not go for any less than 154.8 because that is the impact that has been known since the template's been in place and the code change has been in place. So I would say the minimum would be 154.8.
Darren or Lucia, can we just get a final clarification on potential bonding? Are there any issues if this board gives you direction to accept the option of a bond? Are there any issues that you can foresee with that before we take direction?
No. Based on previous comments, there are no issues.
And let the record reflect that Darren also agreed. Right. Go ahead, Lori.
Really, I have a question about bonds, and I'm not pro or con. I'm more into the implementation because – how many times has Carson City ever executed a construction bond? So that's really what it is they're putting up a bond for full faith of execution. And so my question starts becoming, if the bond company is defunct, we get zero. We also could face litigation to execute a bond if the individual does not make good on the project. I mean, a bond's not as neat as it all sounds, as, yeah, you got a bond. There are executions to bonds. And so I wonder, procedurally, how often has the city actually executed any construction bond that we've pulled for a project? and what hoops and, you know, I doubt it's a 30-day we executed a bond, so I just am looking for the mechanics.
Absolutely, Darren Schultz, for the record. So we don't, it's true, we do not execute a lot. It's relatively rare. You have the highest success with the minimal amount of time from when the bond was issued to when you want to go after it. So in this case, you know, the shorter we can keep the time from when we execute a proposed bond to where we actually build the project, the better chance we have of everything lining up and everything that we agreed upon coming to fruition. So the longer time it goes, we have had, you know, hiccups and problems and difficulties coming through, and attorneys sometimes get involved, and it can be a process. So we have not fully vetted that, but the concept of it to me sounds acceptable, because that's also what we do on other projects. I mean, that's the system that is in place. So therefore it kind of stands to reason that we would accept it here too. In terms of staff, we obviously don't have an opinion one way or the other. If that's the way it needs to get done for development, then we'll make it work.
Mr. Clark, if I could have you come back up. Mr. Clark, if I could have you come back up, please. Hearing the discussion, again, make sure that the mic is green. But hearing the discussion up here, if the decision of this commission is the $154,800, but gives you the option to put up a bond, would that be your preference? Would be to do the bond versus cash?
Don't have the cash. Loan's approved. Can't change. I have to do a bond in order to make it work. But my goal would be to pay it as soon as the project sells.
So then you would exchange the bond for a cash deposit at the time that the project sells. Okay. They're separate parcels, correct? Chick-fil-A purchased their own property, correct?
No, they're on a ground lease.
They're on a ground lease,
but
okay.
I own that in a separate LLC with two different partners. And then Bergner Clark owns the shops and the Panera. And, of course, the only thing that changed was the Panera versus the Starbucks.
So the
shops were always there.
So there would be two sales then, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Any further questions from the commissioners? All right.
Just a comment to thank you.
No refunds. And no refunds. This is going to be a flat fee, $154,800. Okay. Okay.
Okay. No, I just want to thank you for making us look smoother and getting the right questions and answers before we make the decision.
Lori, do you want to take a stab at a motion, please?
I sure.
Go ahead.
It was always going to be shops. I reduced the amount of the shops. The shops were approved. Anyway. I don't think it's fair, but you got to do what you got to do. Unfortunately, this whole ship had left port, and it only changed when I had to substitute Panera for Starbucks. And Panera doesn't use anywhere near the traffic count that Starbucks did.
We're going to try to meet you halfway here, okay. See what we can do. I move to approve a development agreement amending the RTC's approved template to a fixed fee of $154,800 and allowing a bond to be utilized instead of the cash payment. I don't think there's anything else in the agreement because I said a fixed fee. Well, I'm changing it to a fixed fee instead of a pro rata share. So there would be no refunds.
Yeah, I'll second that.
All right, we have a motion and a second discussion on the motion. Does everybody understand the motion? Anybody have any clarifying questions?
Does staff need any further clarification?
I have a clarifying question.
Yes.
So Is there a preference or any direction to staff with regard to timing of executing the agreement and any execution of the bond or any assurances provided to city staff related to timing of the execution of the bond?
He doesn't get the building permit till he executes the agreement, right? I mean, that's our, when I'm looking in here, he'll go get the bond and give it to you, and he'll pull his building permits. Is that what we're all on? Right.
I did have one question, Lori. The fixed rate messes with the agreement that we've already set out with ProRata. So if everybody wants to come in, are we going to do fixed rates?
The only reason that we're doing fixed rate on this one is because he has a mixed project that started before the agreement.
Right, so if nobody needs
nobody,
that.
Right. The rest, everybody's coming in new.
As long as the minutes reflect that so that
I agree on discussion as to why we're doing it. Is because he had a piece of his project.
Well,
that
part I understand, but changing it from prorated to fixed with goofs up the agreement. So,
right, right.
That has to be put forth.
On
so,
the record.
Okay, I'm all right.
Anything else we need in it?
You good down there, Greg? Mm-hmm. Questions, discussion?
No.
Chaz? Any final comments?
No.
Right. And so we're clear, though, that you need the bond before you can get the building permit.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least we gave you a bond. Okay.
Does staff need any further direction? Any additional questions from staff? All right. Then I'll call the question. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The vote is 5-0.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. We're now on agenda item 6B. For possible action, discussion and possible action regarding contract number 1718-083A, South Carson Complete Street Project, construction manager at risk, construction services with Sierra Nevada Construction, Inc., for a total not to exceed amount of $20,033,758.51 to be partially funded from the Regional Transportation Fund. And there he is. Dan, how are you?
Good evening, Commissioners. Dan Stuckey, City Engineer for the record. I wasn't going to go through the full project history. You've seen it, I think, six times. We've had over 20 public meetings for the various boards and committees and general public, excuse me. I do want to point out the funding sources, 70% funded by non-sources that originated from non-local sources, the Tiger Grant, the NDOT agreement funding. So that's kind of where that RTC fund has been holding those funds there. So that's that $14 million. I did want to give an update to the commissioners. We did hold a pre-construction meeting for the general public on the 28th of January. We held it in here at an evening meeting. It was an opportunity for Sierra Nevada Construction, the contractor, to discuss, you know, the construction impacts, detours, those types of things, so the public could ask questions. We also stayed around afterwards and answered specific questions from the people that were in attendance. So I did want to point that out. Construction schedule, we're looking at some minor, they'll be out kind of mobilizing the end of February if they were approved today, and then obviously heavy construction would start in March. It would last throughout the end of the year, and then they're going to probably come back in the springtime, March, April, to do the final landscape planning. So we'll have wrapped up by spring of 2021, substantially complete by the end of this year. We are scheduling a ribbon cutting ceremony that we'll likely be having at the end of February. So I did want to point out those. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Any questions from any of the commissioners?
Well, that was 3 weeks from now, the end of February. Good job.
Well, that's this is the construction manager at risk. So they know the project and they're ready to go. So it's a good process.
Yes. Greg? All right. Any public comment on this item? Seeing nobody approaching, I'll bring this item back to the commission and entertain a motion.
Can I ask a question first?
You may.
I need to have explained to me the Board of Supervisors awards the contract, but we ratify it. Where does ratify come in? What is that term?
You approve of what we did?
We approve that was already voted on. So is if we didn't ratify this, is it like create major problems?
Todd Reese, Deputy DA for the record, it doesn't necessarily create major problems. My concern is just dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's and making sure that all the relevant approvals have been given so that nobody can come back and say this particular piece of it wasn't approved.
It's just a term I not used to
right.
Ratifying
and,
things.
And you're right. Since the Board of Supervisors did award the contract, in this case, you would essentially be just approving of their action or ratifying their action.
Any additional questions? Before we have a motion on this, I just wanted to clarify the staff report. Dan, you are not the city manager. Sorry. I'm going to demote you back to city engineer. To approve it, it's official, right? So just for the benefit of the public. All right. I open this up to public comment, and nobody approached, so I will entertain a motion.
The motion, because I like the word there. I move to ratify the award of the contract.
We have a motion and a second. Any final discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Vote is 5-0. We are going to take a 1-minute recess. We'll be back in 1 minute. All right, we are back from our recess, and we will move on to agenda item 6C for possible action. Discussion and possible action regarding contract number 193-00092, Airport Road Reconstruction and Utility Replacement Project for a total not to exceed amount of $2,196,700 to be partially funded with Service Transportation Block Grant Funds. Dan, you're back up.
Yeah, Dan Stuckey, City Engineer for the record. As you mentioned, this is a road reconstruction, but primarily a utility replacement project. We have an old and a sewer main that's old and it's at capacity along Airport Road. It really functions as a sewer interceptor for us. We're going to upgrade that with this project. We're also replacing a significant amount of a water line that was built 50 or 60 years ago that needs replacement. So again, this effort that we're trying to make from the city to kind of align a bunch of project needs within one project to be more cost effective. construction schedule will probably start late March, early April, and it'll last probably through the end of the summer with this project. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the commissioners? Seeing none, I'll open it up to public comment. I see no public comment, so I'll bring it back to the commission and entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. I move to ratify the award of the contract.
We have a motion and a second. Any additional discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Passes unanimously. We are now moving to agenda items 6D and 6E for possible action. Discussion and possible action regarding an amendment to the cooperative agreement P502-17-063 between Carson City RTC and the Nevada Department of Transportation for the I-580 multi-use path to Colorado Street project to increase the project amount from $750,000 to $1,141,771 and the local match from $37,500 to $57,089 and to authorize the transportation manager to sign the proposed amendment, as well as discussion and possible action regarding a determination that A&K Earth Movers, Inc. is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338, and whether to award contract 1930081 to A&K Earth Movers, Inc. for a construction of for the I-580 multi-use path to Colorado Street for a total not to exceed amount of $1,030,700. So we will hear discussion and presentations on both items. We will take separate votes.
Thank you, Chair.
Dirk.
Thank you. So this project is for the multi-use path along the freeway, and it begins at the linear ditch north of Fairview and then goes down south to the Colorado Street. So 6E is contingent on approval of 6D. Item 6D is requesting approval for an amendment to an existing agreement between NDOT and Carson City. The reason for the amendment is to add additional federal money provided by NDOT. Additional money was needed for a more robust barrier where the path is near the highway ramps on Fairview. So the amendment increases the project from $750,000 to about $1.1 million, which will increase the local match from about $37,000 to $57,000. The amendment would bring the amounts in the agreement in line with the construction contract proposed under 6E. Moving on to item 6E, the construction project was advertised and bids were received. The lowest and responsible bidder is A&K Earth Movers. Approval of the construction contract with A&K Earth Movers would authorize a do-not-exceed amount of about $1,030,700. That concludes my comments. I'm happy to answer any questions.
So, Dirk, if I understand correctly, two things happened. The scope changed because there are additional requirements from NDOT, as well as the construction costs were higher than anticipated?
Correct.
Any questions from the commissioners? Lori?
What was the increased scope itself?
The increase in scope was that originally we were proposing to do a cyclone fence where the path was near the Fairview ramps. And so the change in the scope, which caused the increase in cost, was that the barrier is now going to have a concrete barrier with a cyclone fence on top, which also increased things with design, drainage, and all that stuff.
And that was a requirement from NDOT or based on comments we received about the pathway?
Comments from NDOT.
Comments from NDOT, okay.
Additional questions? All right, then I'll open this up. Are you finished? Okay, then I'll open this up for public comment. And I see nobody approaching. So we'll bring this back to the commission and entertain a motion.
Motion. I move to approve amendment number one and to authorize the transportation manager to sign the amendment.
And to clarify, the motion is for 6D.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. The vote is 5-0. And then I will entertain a motion on agenda item 6E.
I move to award the contract as presented in item 6E.
We have a motion and a second. I did not open up specific public comment for this item, so I will take public comment now. I don't see nobody approaching. So any final discussion from the commission members on agenda item 6E? All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. That item also is approved 5-0. We're now on agenda item 6F. For possible action, discussion and possible action regarding submittal of a grant application with the Nevada Aging and Disability Services Division in the amount of $96,750 for the period July 1, 2020 to June 30, 2021, and to authorize the Public Works Director to sign the application and associated certifications and assurances. Lucia.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Lucia Maloney, Transportation Manager. Staff has prepared an independent living grant application renewal for fiscal year 2021 with the Nevada Aging and Disability Services Division, ADSD. Applications are due on February 17th. The grant funding partially underwrites the cost of the Jump Around Carson, the JAC, Senior Bus Pass program, which provides unlimited free rides for seniors age 60 plus on the JAC fixed route system. As you know, the Senior Bus Pass program is highly successful. It's utilized by up to 700 individual seniors each year. The ADSD funding for this program has been critical to the success of the program. Without the funding, it's unlikely that we could continue to operate the program and justify the operation of the program, which is already operated at a deficit. The seniors would be required to pay 50 cents for each one-way trip or $12.50 for a monthly pass. In fiscal year 18, JAC projected distribution of 333 senior passes. We ultimately distributed 591. In fiscal year 19, we again projected distribution of 333 vouchers based on availability of the ADSD funding, and ultimately distributed 698. Just 6 months into fiscal year 20, ADSD again funded up to 333 vouchers, and JAC has already distributed 641 passes. As provided in the Notice of Funding Opportunity provided as Exhibit 1 of the staff report, the transportation category for fiscal year 21 is $96,753. Details about the transportation category of the funding opportunity start on packet page number 313. Staff recommends submittal of the grant application for the full allocation, which will support 645 senior passes. And that's calculated at $12.50 per month times 12 months. If approved and awarded, the transit fund account for the fiscal year 2021 would be increased by $96,750. The additional revenue would require a $14,513 match from the transit fund account, which is available within the existing annual general fund transfer amount. One point of clarification is these funds, when they come to us as revenue, the city uses them as essentially local match to support continued operation of JAC with our federal FTA grant funds. So these funds are really critical for that operation. We're able to leverage them substantially. To wrap up, staff are requesting approval to submit the grant application for $96,750 and to authorize the Public Works Director to sign the application and the associated certifications and assurances.
Any questions? Any public comment? All right. Would somebody like to make a motion?
I'll make the motion. I move to approve submittal of the grant application as presented and to authorize the Public Works Director to sign the application and associated certifications and assurances.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Vote is 5-0. We're now on agenda item 6G. For possible action, discussion and possible action regarding Carson City's portion of the federal fiscal year 2020 surface transportation block grant funds and any remaining or unused federal fiscal year 2019 STBG funds to the Northridge Drive Reconstruction Project. Dirk.
Thank you. So, yes, this item is requesting an allocation of federal fiscal year 2020. In September 2019, federal fiscal year 2019, STVG funds, approximately $516,000, were allocated as part of the District 2 pavement projects. The project is starting east of East Ridge Drive and would progress west as funds permit. Allocation of federal fiscal year 20 STVG funds, approximately $473,000 in federal funding, would require a local match of approximately $24,000. Additional funding would allow for the reconstruction of about a half mile versus a quarter of a mile. This would create more efficiencies by having a larger project versus two smaller projects. If approved, staff will add into the transportation improvement program, as noted in the Campo meeting. So in summary, staff is requesting approval to allocate the federal fiscal year 2020 STVG funds and any remaining and unused funds from federal fiscal year 2019 STVG funds to North Ridge Drive. And that concludes my comments. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions? No? All right. Lucia.
Mr. Chair, if I may add just a point of clarification for those that follow along with these staff reports closely over time. Staff were very specific with the language we used in the staff report about it being an approximate estimation for federal fiscal year 20. Although it is February, NDOT has yet been unable to provide CAMPO with the federal fiscal year allocation amount, even though that allocation was made available to them as of October 1st of 2019. So Carson City staff do not actually know how much money we have yet. So that amount of money, we're planning to use it all, but it may differ from this amount ultimately.
Thank you, Lucia. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission and entertain a motion.
I move to allocate the federal fiscal year 2020 surface transportation block grant funds and any remaining and unused federal fiscal year 2019 surface transportation block grant funds to the North Ridge Drive reconstruction project as presented.
We have a motion. Do we have a second? We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. All right. The vote is 5-0. Okay, moving on to item 7 on the agenda, internal communications and administrative matters, non-action items. Item 7A, transportation manager's report. Lucia.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Lucia Maloney, transportation manager. I have a few items I wanted to give you updates on. If you recall, we had RTC had an agreement in place to purchase Jack buses where we had options available. We've used all those options. Staff put out an RFB for proposals to get a new agreement for those buses. We did receive two bids, and awards are anticipated to RTC in March. Additionally, the Regional Transportation Plan 2050 we're getting in line for that, and Carson City RTC plays a big part in that Regional Transportation Plan. That plan is planned to be kicked off in March at the March CAMPO meeting. The ADA transition plan for Carson City right-of-way was funded by CAMPO. That plan has been drafted, has been circulated to NDOT for review. There will be a public hearing on the draft scheduled for CAMPO in March and brought to you for consideration for approval here at RTC in April. Staff were asked to look at how and when speed limits are established. What is our policy for establishing speed limits, for changing speed limits, for putting up speed limit signs, all those great things. Staff have drafted a policy, and we were reviewing it internally. We're anticipating bringing that for your consideration of approval in March. And finally, the fourth leg of the Stewart Street roundabout, the future leg that connects South Carson Street with Curry Street across that state lands parcel, that is moving forward. Staff have received notice of eligibility to apply for a permanent easement for the connection. To do that, existing RTC professional services funding is planned to be used for preliminary design of the new connection, as well as survey work to tell us for our easement request where exactly it is that we want to put the road. This will result in a cost estimate for the project, which will be brought to RTC and the Board of Supervisors for any necessary approvals. That is moving forward, and we hope to get that work done sometime this summer. So with that, I'll conclude my comments.
When you say get the work done, you mean the design or the construction?
Oh, no, the survey work and the very preliminary design, which will allow us to get a cost estimate for the project. So we can budget it.
You have an idea of what the construction timeline would be?
It's anyone's guess at this point. Our new real property manager estimates that the approval period for the easement may be somewhere between 9 and 12 months, and then after that we would look to fund the construction project as well as the full design of the project.
Thank you. Any questions on the transportation manager's report, Mark?
Simple one. The speed limit policy, I assume the SO is involved with that somehow? Like NDOT is with NHP for setting speed limits?
We certainly can run it by them. The intent of the policy is really to clarify existing Carson City Municipal Code of how we set speed limits and just to really make it clear that it's not arbitrary and here's how we do it and that kind of thing. It's not intended to change the law or supersede Carson City Municipal Code in any way. Does that answer your question?
No, but that's okay.
Say no.
Yes, we will circulate the draft to the Carson City Sheriff's Office.
Thank you.
Any additional questions on the Transportation Manager's Report? All right. Item 7B, Street Operations Activity Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Lucia Maloney, Transportation Manager. So there's two street operations reports due to a cancellation of the meeting last month. Looking at the RTC street activities as of November of 2019, the few items I wanted to highlight for you was the sidewalk and flat work. We did over 2,500 square feet of sidewalk work in the month of November. We hauled off 900 yards of DG to the corporate yard. This material was the material that we used on the sanding during the storms that are listed on packet page number 352. We had four snow events where we deposited 213 yards of salt and sand, over 3,100 gallons of brine. We cleared a ton of storm drains, and 14 yards of debris was also cleared. So those are the major events. You'll see at the top of packet page 352, a lot of sweeper operations happened in November as well. If there's no questions on November, the highlights from December of 2019, again, there were 8 snow events that we worked with a lot of salt, sand mixture, and brine deposited, 2 rain events as well, which resulted in a lot of storm drain work for our crews. I did want to highlight on packet page 354, under delineators replaced, we put up the delineators. These are generally used where we want to improve bicycle and pedestrian safety or highlight the presence of a deep storm drain. A lot of our drivers find it entertaining, I guess, to drive over them, so we end up replacing them a lot. So as we think about bicycle and pedestrian improvements at RTC, we should carefully consider installation of delineators because they're frequently destroyed by our drivers. So I did want to call that out. And that concludes my comments, but I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
So when I'm looking at the report at drainage inlets cleared, and it says 358. So my first question is, how many do we have, and do we only do it once a month? I mean, one month out of a year? Because I'm like, wow, I would think there'd be tons of leaves, anyway. I just like a little more information on the drainage inlets cleared.
I cannot give you the number of how many we have, though I can go back and see if we have that number. Generally, and in talking to Rick Cooley, the operations manager, the storm drain maintenance and clearing of those drains is something that we're really responsive, we're reactive to. When we get calls or when there's a big storm event, we simply don't have the resources or the manpower to make it a priority or to keep them clear all of the time. So it's trade-offs. And when we pull those crews to clean those storm drains, they're being pulled off of something else, be it pothole filling or crack filling or some other street activity.
I get that, but we're all the way this far into the fiscal year, and only one month did we have clearing. And if they're not clear and you have the critical incident, we're not in good shape. So I guess I'm just would like a little more.
They did it both months.
Zero. And this is year-to-date, 358.
Right, you're looking at the year-to-date.
I'm looking at both. So they did it. Oh, him. Yeah, because they did 358 in your December report. Your fiscal year-to-date was 358. And you go to January, they've done zero, and it's still 358. So all I'm saying is that's 7 months, which means they only did it in the month of December, unless I'm misinterpreting the reports. But
you're not.
Okay.
So I have a question on that. I would assume that the street sweeping operations cleans a lot of drains.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're doing the curb line, they're running over the inlets at the same time, I would assume.
They are. A lot of this, the inlets, is the different truck. It's the VACCON that gets down in there and sucks the material out of the pipe. So in many cases, when it's a little bit of a different operation, though it may be the same crewman. And so, again, it's trade-offs. Are they in the truck with the sweeper, or are they in the other rig with the VACCON clearing out those drains?
One other question for you as well. For some reason, I've had several people ask me just recently about the white lines that show up on our roads right before a storm event, which is the brine that we're applying to the roads. Can you tell us what comprises the brine? Because I have people ask me, is it chemical? Is it salt? What is it?
It's a salt water mixture. It's very diluted. I believe there are also chemicals in there. I could get the exact composition for you, if you will. As I understand, the city has an agreement with NDOT, and so we share the same brine mix as NDOT, and they help us keep the cost down.
Yeah, it's just interesting that I've had so many people ask me just recently because they noticed the white lines before the storm events, and they've made that association. And for the most part, actually, I think everybody that's commented to me has said that it seems to really help when they apply that prior to a storm event, that it helps with keeping the roads clear. So if you can remember to try to find out what the composition of that is and bring it back at a future meeting, that would be great.
I will bring back at a future meeting. Incidentally, Supervisor Bagwell was also asking about that last week. We have a fantastic picture that I'll distribute it to the full board after this meeting that we took last winter up in the Lakeview neighborhood, where the guys call it the brine line. And so the truck with the brine, and they stopped the truck, and then it was snowing, and they waited, and they took a photo, and you can see the road, and you can see exactly where the truck stopped, and the snow's accumulated like an inch or so just a few minutes into the storm when you're looking up Hobart Road. So it's a really fascinating photo showing effectiveness, so I'll send that out as well.
Thank you. Any additional questions? Go ahead, Chaz.
Just a little editing thing. Under stormwater, you got sediment removed from ditches twice. But the first line and the last line of that segment.
Good catch. Thank you.
You're
working really hard.
Yeah.
Additional comments or questions?
Just it was the same answer.
All right. Then we'll move on to agenda item 7C, project status report. Chris, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's my first project status report, so it's exciting here today. I'll step through a few of these projects. Some of them we've already covered, so I'll just kind of skim over those. First one, South Carson Street. That one's been awarded. Second one is the freeway multi-use path to Colorado Street. That one, again, we awarded tonight. The next one is the freeway multi-use path from Colorado down to the Edmonds Sports Complex. So we're really starting in on design now that the previous one is complete. So this one will be our next kind of project moving forward to continue the path extension. Fiscal year 2019 District 1 street lighting. The work from the city's contractor has just recently been completed, and NV Energy will now be installing the poles, I believe, next week. So that project's moving along and nearing completion. CDBG College Parkway improvements. All the work is substantially complete. There's been some punch list work still completing. That should be wrapped up here relatively shortly, and that project should be completed by the March-April timeframe. Kings Canyon Trailhead Improvement Project. This project has been progressing. Central Federal Lands of the Federal Highway Administration is doing the design. We have received 70% design plans, and we've reviewed and commented and provided an initial set of comments back to Federal Highways on that 70% design. We're hoping that at some point here in the next couple of months, we'll be able to come back to the RTC and present kind of that status update of the design specifics for that project. Moving on to Roop Street, this is the Roop Street portion between 5th and Musser. We've done some geotechnical work, and we're in the process of completing the survey work. This project is still moving forward, but I think it's somewhat scheduled, somewhat contingent on the South Carson Street project. We don't want to have too many things under construction at the same time, so there's kind of that scheduling items there. Moving on to Fairview Drive project, this project is out for bid, and so we're expecting bids here in the next couple of weeks. Construction, again, is scheduled for July of 2020, again, to reduce some of the conflicts with the South Carson Street project in that area. Airport Road Utility Replacement Project, this is the one also we were awarded today. Fiscal year 2019, District 2 Winnie Lane Pavement Preservation Projects. So these are our 2020 District 2 projects. So I don't know if these have been presented in the past. So one of them here is Winnie Lane, and so this one's been ongoing, some design. We're coordinating with NV Energy regarding potentially undergrounding the overhead utilities. So that's kind of where our coordination stands at this point on that project. Roop Street Pavement Preservation, this is another portion of Roop Street running from Hot Springs Road down to Robinson. So pavement preservation, we're in the design. Design's about 75-ish% complete. And so we should be getting that out to bid probably in the next couple of months. Construction this summer. Same story with the fiscal year 2020 Russell Road, Russell Way pavement preservation project. Design is approximately 75% complete. And a similar story for the fiscal year 2020 District 2 Solomon Road pavement preservation project. These kind of are all going in tandem. Moving on to a couple of newer projects, the fiscal year 2020 District 2 Long Street. We have not quite yet started on design of this, but it includes water and improvements as well as roadway improvements. And the last project, which we've also talked about tonight, is the fiscal year 2020 District 2 Northwoods Drive pavement reconstruction project. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Busy schedule. Mark?
I just was curious why Nevada Energy, you may not know the answer, but we're going to put the power underground for that section of road. There must be something up there.
There are some ADA issues along that side of Winnie Lane where the pole's right in the middle of the sidewalk, and so we're looking to try to fix some of that.
Yeah, if they do that, have them do Fifth Street too.
Yeah, the poles.
Because they're literally right in the middle of the sidewalks on Fifth Street.
Well, I thought those are... I thought that was... I looked into that project just because there's like double poles all down Fifth Street. There's one in the middle and then one. So I think I already had an answer from Darren that it's really the TV company that they're waiting to do the work. But I saw them out there this last week. I saw two poles go. I'm like, is it two per 5 months? So it's them. Anyway, just so you know, it's Charter TV. They already moved their stuff, the other company, off the pole. Anyway.
And there is that issue on Winnie that we'll have to certainly work through.
Same thing.
Any questions from the commissioners on the project status report? Chad?
When you get the next iteration of 70% plans for the King Street improvements, I'd really like to see those, if they're available before they're actually presented to the commission next month. Please.
Yeah, I'm not sure how long it'll take them to address some of our comments, but we'd certainly share them.
I appreciate that.
Prior to the
meeting. And then I have another comment. We've got a bunch of Type 3 slurry projects coming up, and works well for cars, doesn't work well for bicycles. but it particularly doesn't work well for bicycles when they push all the residue junky stuff to the very lip of the gutter, which can happen. So it's really a construction issue. So if we could have the construction inspector sort of be aware of that when that's going on and talk to the contractor beforehand so that he does his best not to make it any worse than it's going to be anyway. Thank you.
Any additional questions or comments on the project report? All right. Right, then we'll move on to agenda item number 8, board comments. We'll start over here. Greg, any comments? Corey?
I have none because I'd like to stir the pot up. I'm a little bit of a car enthusiast, and if you read all of the latest literature and watch everything that's going on, electric is what it's all about almost entirely, all the discussions. And I rather see Car City be proactive than wait. And I was just curious if there's been some gatherings of people trying to deal with this issue, because it's going to be huge. That I don't think we get tax dollars from electric stations for road repairs. So where do you start gathering funds for roads? And this is going to be and the way it's all going, all these cars are coming out within the next 3 to 4 years, and some of them are going 100%. It's just huge what's going on out there. So right now it's only 1% of the market, but I was curious if there's been any forums or any way to gather some community way of bringing people in and telling them what's up with this in the world. The road infrastructure, what's going to happen in 10 years? It's pretty big major change, and that's coming and with nothing that's being planned. We tried a vote that failed, but this commission and staff can't go out and start a motion. I mean, move. It takes like nonprofits or things in place. So I'm just curious if you've been informed and read in all the literature you guys get, how this is all looked at, going to be solved in the future in some way that we could start working on here sooner than later. That's
a simple little project.
So I don't know if you knew this or not, but the DMV is starting to gather mileage, and that's pretty much the mechanism that I understand that they're going to use to start.
That's NDOT money, though, so I don't know if that filters down. Huh? So that's what people, the fear of that given miles, but they've got to look at something. And I, like you said, that's one method, I guess, start charging by the mile, which that'll be received real well. But
there is a group in Nevada. It's called the SCR3 Working Group that's been meeting monthly. They've met, I think, 3 or 4 times now. And they've received proposals from various outside groups. It's chaired by Assemblywoman Danielle Moreno, who's also on the Ways and Means Committee and Infrastructure Committee. And in any case, one of the proposals that they are discussing at a state level of potentially putting a bill out at the next session has to do with indexing to the entire state, but there's also a component related to the electric vehicles and potentially tying it to vehicle registration fees of those vehicles that aren't paying into the gas tax. So it's something to keep an eye on for sure.
There's no movement anywhere of people trying to gather and work on that other than this legislative body, which is like maybe it was a funded study over the interim period probably. So I guess we would probably love to be enlightened as that group moves ahead, and that maybe they might even come to a meeting sometime to share some of their thoughts if they're.
I could certainly request that. One of the talking points that they brought at the last meeting was at least currently the rate of adoption of those EV, the electric vehicles, isn't increasing at a pace to even offset the reduced buying power, if you will, of the federal gas tax. So it's not even if we were able to somehow bring them into the funding gap picture, it's still not offsetting our buying power of the gas tax.
And I think I can't remember what meeting I went to tell you. I don't know. But also that the electrical vehicle registrations in Nevada is less than 0.5% of all vehicles. So I think you're right that the long-term answer is going to happen to us, but that's why I don't see them charging out, because right now any collection methodology would outweigh the cost of anything you'd receive off of those number of vehicles. So I think that's why they're still in the gathering information, or that's the report that I heard from one of those commission studies so far.
It seems at a minimum, though, that now would be the time to have discussions about methodology and, you know, in preparation for a point in time when there are enough electric vehicles on the road to make it worthwhile. But, you know, it's not an equitable system at this point. Gas vehicles are paying the majority of the bill. You know, diesel gets hit a little bit now. Electric vehicles, not at all. But yet they have the same impact as a gas vehicle. So a solution will have to be forthcoming. Not sure what it is. Any additional questions, comments? All right. Then agenda item 9. The next meeting is tentatively scheduled after the Campo meeting on Wednesday, March 11th, 2020, right here in this room. Final public comment. I see nobody approaching. We are now on agenda item 11 for adjournment.
Adjournment.
So moved. Thank you all for coming and participating.